this is LA Plains Poets talking about what we've been doing. Got Jeanette.
Hi.
You got Carol and me, and we have
Michelle. Hello. Michelle.
But literary news for this month. I was hoping to do this last week because it would have been the anniversary of the publication of Mansfield Park by Jane Austen, a book I absolutely loathe, but did not like that book.
So we won't talk about it then if you loathe it.
I don't know. It's
love or loathe.
Yeah. I don't think many people love Mansfield Park.
I don't know that. Obviously, I know of that, but I've never read it. I've got better things to do. Right?
Yeah.
But we can listen to one month. Because somebody sitting next to me knows
Michelle
something
has
about.
Very proud auntie. So my niece entered a competition, a poetry competition, nationwide schools competition, and her poem was chosen as one of the poems that will be used in the final anthology.
That's very, very
so
exciting.
Super proud auntie. Yes. And encourage your young ones to write, because not everyone's a sports person, and or even an artist, you know, visual artist.
Yes.
So
literature
really encourage our young people to write.
If you've got a child who's just living in the dream world, she or he, maybe he, is actually probably a writer in residence in their head. And one day they might make mega bucks writing film scripts or something, and you'll be really ever so grateful you didn't tell them to get on with it, clear out the garden, whatever. Just say, yep, you go, girl, you go.
I think it was really exciting when they introduced the Premier's Reading Challenge. When I was a kid, I was always getting told off for reading. Oh, you read too much. Put down that book. How wonderful to actually reward kids that read. I didn't get any medals, rewards. And the boys have all got their Premier's Reading Challenge medals. They got to the top. They're really proud of those because they've got no sports medals, but they've got their Premier's Reading Challenge medals. So they've got medals. And it's great to actually reward kids that read, kids that do things other than just sporting achievement. I think that's it for literary news. So we just skip straight on to poet and writer discussion. And I've been really excited about our subject this month.
We are excited this month.
And what inspired it, I don't know if you're aware, but there's a film coming out, a bio of Tolkien. And it's only the early years, the formative years of his life, so World War One, and his relationship with Edith Bratt, the woman that he married. I'm super excited that I've got to wait till June till it comes out in Australia, because this is when I want to go and see in cinema. So that's made me think about films and TV series about authors. And I thought that's a good subject
to talk
about.
Well, give us some clues about who we might be talking about. Who else is there?
I've got a quiz. So
quiz.
Do you want me to do the quiz first?
Yes, please.
Okay. So I went through and I found a list of 150 titles.
Yeah.
And I picked through. Now, some obviously had the name of the person in the title, so
we'll get those beep.
Some are easy, some are going to be obscure. I've got the years that they come out, and some are films, some are TV. Some are based on autobiographies, some on biographies. Okay, so I'm going to start off with this one. 1934, Mum used to talk about this film, The Barretts of Wimpole Street.
Oh, no, don't know that one.
Sounds very British, but don't
know. Yes, it's very British. Elizabeth Barrett Browning.
Of course. I was just thinking, I know the Barretts.
Okay, this one you should know because I talk about it all the time. But
do we pay any attention?
No, exactly. So this is a test.
Oh, this is attention. Dear listeners, this is a friendship test. This is not a biopic test. For those of you who can't see, Carol and I are nervously looking at each other.
So this just reminds me of my character in D&D, and his whole thing is, nobody ever listens to me. That's why I'm writing this.
Okay, go.
It was a TV series in 1979 and a film in 2014 based on autobiography, Testament of Youth.
Oh, Thomas Hardy.
No, another one of my favourite writers.
See, I've got more points than Carol, and at least I knew one of your favourite writers. Oh, Jane Eyre.
No. She's not well known. Vera Brittain.
Oh.
That's right. I didn't expect you to get that one.
Good one, Carol.
Okay.
We always talk about festival. What was she went to at work?
A more well-known one, a little bit more Disney, this one. 2013, Saving Mr. Banks.
It was about the woman who wrote Potter. The nanny.
Yes.
Mary Poppins. Mary Poppins.
Yes.
It was the author who wrote Mary Poppins. Beautiful movie. See it. It's absolutely gorgeous.
She was just born in Australia. I didn't know that.
All the best. So
beautiful movie.
It has Emma Thompson in it.
Yeah.
Can't be all bad. Oh. This one, you probably haven't heard of it, but you should be able to guess it. 2009 TV, it was just a one-off called Enid.
Cool. Enid Blyton.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
You. Did you see it?
Because apparently it showed her in a dreadful light, and
well,
I did not
want
my...
A child hater? child rater. No.
I suspect reading her books that it was very true of her. Secret
Famous Five. No,
I don't want to. Just,
the Chatterley Affair, 2006.
Who wrote Lady Chatterley's Lover? D.H. Lawrence.
Yes. Bright Star, 2009.
Now, no.
So it's a poet.
Poet. No.
John Keats. The Last Station, 2009. Another one of my favourite authors. Wasn't a very nice person either, but I love his books.
Oh, Roald Dahl.
No.
No, not a clue.
Leo Tolstoy.
Oh, was he not very nice?
Not all that.
I'm having all my illusions shattered.
He was a bit committed.
I have not seen this film. I have got it, but I've never watched it. It's a poet by a poet, The Edge of Love, 2008. Welsh poet, I'll give you some clues.
Oh, what's
the
his name?
The famous Welsh
yes,
poet.
Yes, you know, but did black hair. You know him.
Do not go gently into that good night.
Rage against the dying light.
Dylan Thomas. So this one you should get. Miss Austen Regrets, 2008.
Jane Austen.
Yes. Daphne, 2007. I haven't seen that.
Daphne du Maurier.
Yes, but yeah. Becoming Jane, 2007.
Oh, I think I've seen this one.
Very popular around that time. And getting...
Oh, no.
It's not the only one on this list.
Not Jane Eyre.
No.
No, Jane Austen.
Jane Austen again. Okay. Miss Potter, 2006.
Beautiful, another beautiful movie.
Finding Netherland.
Barry.
Jane Barry. Fictionalised. Barely counts, but yeah, it was Jane Barry.
There's a new Agatha Christie movie out about... They fictionalised what happened on her 11 days that she disappeared. Yep. It's quite delightful.
Sylvia, 2003.
Sylvia Plath.
Yeah. Fitzgerald, 2002.
I'm assuming that's F. Scott.
Iris, 2001.
Iris Murdoch. Oh, my gosh. Judi Dench. Yes. What a beautiful... That's on my list to tell you that I saw a beautiful movie.
I think I've just shied away from it.
It's so heartbreakingly beautiful.
Yeah. Agatha Christie. Yes, that's that one about the 11 days with Dustin Hoffman. That was made in the 79.
Oh, so they've made a new version of it then.
So obviously a new version of it. Priest of Love, 1981.
Priest of Love.
It sounds like a very inapt title to me. But
it turns a bit naughty, doesn't it?
Yes. Yeah. Well, one of his books was supposedly a bit naughty at the time, but D.H. Lawrence.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which seems a very sensationalist title, I think. Oscar, 1985.
Oscar Wilde?
Yes. Shadowlands.
Oh, that was the... I've seen that movie. Absolutely beautiful.
It is a beautiful movie.
He's a very Christian man.
Yes, he was.
And he's got two initials to start off with his name.
Thanks to Tolkien. Tolkien converted into Christianity.
Did he? Oh, really?
Yes.
And he wrote all those beautiful children's books.
C.S. Lewis.
C.S. Lewis, of course.
And her name is Joy Davidman.
Yeah.
So
beautiful movie.
Yes, he and Tolkien were close friends through...
Oh, really?
They were both professors at Oxford, and they used to meet at a gorgeous little pub and sit and discuss their stories.
Oh, how cute.
With another writer.
Oh, God, it sounds like us.
At a pub. That's that.
Yeah. Out of Africa, 1985.
Oh, isn't that Karen Blinken somebody?
Yep. An Angel at My Table,
1990. Janet Frame.
Yes. Zelda, 1993.
F. Scott.
Yeah. Tom and Viv, 1994.
T.S. Eliot. Oh, okay.
T.S. Eliot and his wife. I've seen that one. Wild, 1997.
Wild. Oscar Wilde, I guess.
Roadhouse in Exile, 2003.
P.G. Whitehouse.
Yes.
I love his stuff. I love P.G. Whitehouse.
A Quiet Passion.
Yeah, 2016. A Poet, American. Very famous.
What's his name, that one?
Her name.
Aren't you the poet? There you go, come on.
Poets, American poets. Oh, no, almost had it.
Emily Dickinson. Now, this one is a test of how much attention you pay in writing workshops, Sunday morning writing workshops, Carolyn.
Uh-oh, I'm in trouble.
Al Pastino. No.
No.
Does the word Neruda ring a bell?
Yes.
Pablo Neruda. Yep. Al Pastino was the film that...
Guarado.
Yeah. Pablo Neruda. Goodbye, Christopher Robin.
A.A. Milne.
I
saw that the other night, Sunday night.
So this one you may not have heard of. It wasn't apparently a very good film. It got panned by the critics, but I think you can work out who it's about by the title. The Man Who Invented Christmas, 2017.
Dr. Seuss.
No, way before Dr. Seuss. Christmas has been very popular.
Disney.
No.
Christmas. Man Who Invented
Christmas.
God.
No. Nothing to do with him.
Jesus.
No.
Well, it was...
The author that's really associated with so much Christmas tradition. Ghosts.
Ghosts of Christmas Past and all that.
Dickens. Yes. I should have said another one of my favourite authors, Charles Dickens. The Happy Prince, 2018.
Oh, I'm assuming the guy who wrote it.
Oscar Wilde.
Oh. God, they wrote a popular person to write about.
There's been a lot of films and TV adaptations, but it's a competition between Oscar Wilde, the Brontes, and Charles Dickens, I think, for the most literary sort of film, TV bios. And this one I thought would be awful, but I thought it was amusing, and I had to throw it in because it was an American TV show that obviously never made it to Australia. But I'm wondering if anyone guesses. Beyond the Prairie.
Oh, fantastic. Look, Little House on the Prairie, yes. Who wrote that?
Laura Ingalls Wilder.
Yeah, oh, man, and she is in trouble now, and they're changing her books. That would be a good topic. We should talk about should you change old books or not.
Yeah.
My Left Foot, was that a biopic?
Yes, I think it would
count. Because wasn't he a poet or a writer? Or
I think he wrote poetry.
Yeah. That was a really good movie.
Christy, I've forgotten his surname.
I will Google
it. It was a beautiful film.
It was a beautiful film.
So what are your other films there, Michelle?
Well, I had Shakespeare in Love, which I thought was really interesting when I Googled biopics that I'd seen. Iris Murdoch.
Yes,
I've already said that. Utterly, heartbreakingly beautiful. But what I took away from that movie was the power of love. The depth of love that people have for each other. Miss Potter, I adored that movie. And I thought it was very well done, actually. Mm. It was really cute. And I didn't realise that she'd lost this great love. Yeah, so it was sort of really interesting. And My Left Foot, I saw that, 150,000 years ago. And yes, I was surprised Shakespeare in Love was down as one of the biopics, but it's a very loose,
very loose.
But it's great.
It's fun. Not, you know? Well, it's just not outright dishonest like Anonymous was.
You know, just great fun. Yes, I think sometimes when we watch some of these biopics, we have to be a little bit aware that, you know, a bit like the one about Agatha where she was gone for the 11 days. I mean, that's one of the great mysteries. It wasn't disrespectful to her. It actually painted her in quite a empathetic light.
Finding Netherlands also take place fast and loose. Obviously, I mean, Jerry and Barry was not a young man at the time that he was friends with the Llewellyn Davis family. And there's a wonderful BBC TV series about that too called The Lost Boys, about his friendship with them.
I think what's really interesting when you look at biopics is you do have to take them with a little bit of a pinch of salt, particularly if the person has passed away. And so, you know what, we've all got not very nice aspects of our characters. I think I do sometimes have a little bit of an issue with movies that are made that just focus on that. I mean, I know that it's a little bit off topic, but the Bohemian Rhapsody movie, a lot of people said, oh, but it didn't show this and it didn't show that.
Mm.
But what they wanted to show was all those really beautiful aspects. Mm. I mean, we've all got our bits that...
It was a celebration of a life, a magnificent life that touched so many of us in various ways.
I don't mind... You know, with the Tolkien, I've been reading a lot of discussion, and of course the Tolkien family said, well, but that's normal because they don't want to be associated with... But it sounds like a really beautiful film about him that focuses on where his creative ideas come from. It's very much about what...
And round the person out. Show that they don't have... I mean, Shadowlands, another utterly beautiful movie. But he was a very lonely man. Mm. And it was gorgeous how he met this woman and all the rest of it. But there was degrees to where he screwed himself away a little bit. So I think that's really interesting.
There's also some lovely ones about the Brontes and the recent one, To Walk Invisible. A lot of writers don't have, like Tolkien, people are saying, oh, why did they only make the film about his first years? What about? Yes, a man sitting at a desk coming up with ideas doesn't actually translate to a film.
They're not all Hemingway getting drunk and being repulsive, you know what I mean?
So we move along to the next subject. The writer's tip, or writer's or publishing tip, is have an interesting life.
People
want to make a film and more books will get sold.
Be a slight jerk.
That seems to help, especially if you're male.
Word of the day, Jeanette.
Yes, and this is one that came up because Carl and I were talking about pubs at one.
Most of the time.
We're discussing pubs down at Tushy Gully. And Colin asked what a firkin is, because there's a pub down there called the Fox and Firkin.
Gorgeous little pub.
Which is a lovely little pub. So we looked it up and thought that would be a good word of the day. It's a unit of measurement of volume or mass, originally referred to a quarter of a barrel. It's derived from Middle English firkin, which is probably derived from Middle Dutch verdi. Michelle might have a better idea of how that might be pronounced.
Oh, viardi.
For quarter. And it's a word that's still in use in Britain.
My mum's going to ring up and say that was completely wrong. Stop trying to speak Dutch, Michelle.
Well, it was much better than anything I could have attempted, so.
At least it sounded good.
It did indeed.
Just say things with great authority. Yes.
So thank you for that, Michelle. And so that's word of the day. And anyone got something to read?
And it's just a little small little synopsis where it was called Corner. And I went, we all want to turn a corner. We want to make a change. We want to put into place things we've learned, be a little different, a little better, a little calmer, a little closer to that moment around the corner that holds all the things we cannot see. We're sure of how we can be, stepping closer towards the corner, peering gently around a ledge. Rather than throwing ourselves around wholeheartedly, we creep, we crawl, we edge.
Excellent.
Lovely. Thank you.
This is my writing prompt from last week, and the prompt was nightmare or dream, one or the other. We've had dream and nightmare. So
nightmare. Dream was the week before, yes. Wasn't it? And this one was nightmare.
That night, I dreamt of Penny again. I was back on the street. It was night and raining. It was always dark and raining in my dreams in the streets. Even though rain was a rarity, a wonderful, treasured thing, rain is not so wonderful when you do not have a sheltering roof or windbreaking walls around you. It was cold. Funny to be dreaming of cold when the room was sweltering and my flesh was sticky with sweat. Even stranger, that feeling cold should be so nightmarish. Winter had always been difficult. Perhaps that's why it was always winter in my nightmares. As always, though, it was night. The path was lit by lurid street lamps. City lights winked in the background, replacing the stars. There was noise, a cacophony of city sounds, traffic, humming machinery, voices, shouts from raucous drunks. I was walking alone, trying to find shelter when a figure in white appeared further down the pavement, wafting through the curtains of rain, sometimes visible, sometimes erased entirely. I called and ran, stumbling as the pavement disintegrated into rough rubble. Grease-stained walls closed in around me. The path was gone. The ground itself was breaking up, but still the figure appeared intermittently before me. The distance between us varied. The orange neons faded and the city lights winked out altogether. It was black but for the white smudge that occasionally took form in front of me. Suddenly she appeared, almost whole, blocking my ray. She turned, but there was no face, just a blank, iridescent oval. Hand reached out to me and then dissolved. I woke, sweating, and wondered, are nightmares contagious?
That's beautiful. That's amazing. Really good. Are we allowed to say that?
Is that a real dream? That's just beautiful. Writing about a dream.
No, about a dream.
I love writing about dreams.
Oh.
And I tend to include a lot of dreams.
Maybe Meredith has some dreams.
Well, I don't let my kids end their stories with a dream when we're writing in class.
No, that's a cop-out.
They're never allowed to say, and then I woke up.
No.
I say, then you're going to get an E immediately. I think, yes. How brilliant that. And if you start with Once Upon a Time, I'm not even going to read the next sentence. But I think actually tapping into your dreams is a beautiful way of accessing some imagination stuff. Yeah.
And it also expresses for the character maybe a reality they're not confronting or they're...
But, yeah, you could, like, the character could have a dream.
So I loved writing about all the dreams, though, because it could get really...
Yeah.
You can just do really rich stuff. You can have so much fun in describing people's dreams. You can be really imaginative.
I've never
creative,
entertained that. I think that's a really good idea.
Okay, this is challenge, then.
Rain in Gawler, as we're now getting plenty of it. Rain in Gawler.
Okay, well, thank you, everybody.
Thank you. That was actually that was lovely. Hope you all enjoyed it.